Well, so good to see every one of you here today. Look at your neighbor and tell them you're looking good today. You're looking good, looking real good. Y'all are in a good mood. I think it's because we're feeding you, but I'm excited about that. If you're a first-time guest with us here at Emerge, we're so glad to have you. Come on, let's put our hands together for those who might be first-time guests here with us today. So good to have you here with us. If you don't mind, when you walk through the doors today, there's some great people, lovely people greeting you, welcoming you here to Emerge. They gave you a worship guide. Inside that worship guide is a connection card. If you don't mind, grab that connection card and fill it out, and immediately after service, head back to our Connect desk. We got a free gift for you. We just want to welcome you to our church, let you know we're so glad that you chose to spend a Sunday with us. And hopefully, if you're interested in becoming a part of our church, we got some next step stuff that we can present to you and just show you how you can get involved and become part of our church family. And so grab that, fill that out. A few announcements I want to run through real quick for today. Tonight, Surge is going to meet at the breakout room on Capitol Circle Northeast. Okay, it's right across from the GMC dealership, and so we're going to be there. The cost is $10 per person, and so if you're a middle or high school student, you would like to come to the breakout room with us today. We're going to do a little activity. This is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to meet there at 5:30. The cost is $10 per person, and then afterwards, we're going to go eat chips and queso right there at the Los Brazos Mexican restaurant. And so if you're a middle or high school student, we'd love to have you guys come hang out with us. That's going to be a lot of fun today. And then tomorrow night, ladies, let me hear the ladies in here. All right, good job. Let me hear the men in here. Oh man, shouldn't do that. Ladies, tomorrow night at the Annex. All right, it's going to be your night. This is going to be sisterhood night. What time does that start? 6:15 tomorrow night at the Annex. That's at 1989 Capitol Circle Northeast. If you need directions, make sure you head to Connect Desk right after service. They're going to give you directions over there. But if you're a lady in here, you do not want to miss tomorrow night, sisterhood night. It's going to be at the Annex. They always have a great time getting together. There's going to be a time of worship. They're going to share some things, and the ladies are going to get together and just hang out for a little bit. So if you're a lady in here, we'd love to have you come hang out tomorrow night at sisterhood night. And then next Sunday, I'm really excited about next Sunday, because one of the guys that was a part of our youth ministry years ago that we really believe had the call of God on his life, he went to become a youth pastor over in Maryland. And now he's taking the next step from being a youth pastor to becoming a church planter. And he is going to be here with us next Sunday. Drew is an awesome young man. He's got an awesome family, but he's also got incredible vision. And so he's going to be here with us next Sunday. And really, he's come and check us out to see how you do church in a school, because they're about to start doing church in a school. And so we're going to help support them and all that God is calling them to do. But he's going to be here next Sunday to speak to us. And so I hope you'll come out for that next Sunday. And then coming up on November the 11th, if you have a child that hasn't been dedicated yet, we want to invite you to join us on November the 11th, Sunday, November 11th. That's two Sundays away. We're going to do child dedication. So you want to go ahead and take your connection card, fill out on there that you're interested in child dedication. Please let us know your child's name, how you want it announced, and then we'll be in touch with you to get pictures and all that so that we can show your baby off, your child off, to the entire congregation and pray a blessing over them. Amen. So that's all of the announcements today for the upcoming things. Real quick, though, I want to update you with how this is going to work today after service, because we have baptisms today. We still got some inflatables to jump on. We got some food to eat. It's going to be a lot of fun right after service. All parents, as soon as we say amen, go get your child from Emerge Kids as usual, okay? Make sure you get your child, and then you're going to head out there, and the first thing we're going to do is water baptism. After water baptism, then we'll begin serving food, opening up the inflatables and all the fun stuff. And so make sure if you have a child that you go and grab them and then head on out there. Can I just remind you that everything is free? Can I hear an amen? It's free. Yes, we like to do free things. And so that's coming up right after service. I'll remind you of that in a few moments whenever we get to the end of service. So today I want to jump into this message. Actually, today we're going to start a new message series. I had no intention of doing this. I was just going to preach a pretty little sermon today, and we were going to go eat and baptize. But there's lots of thoughts and ideas that go through my mind as I prepare for what to speak on. And the goal, though, is to get past my ideas and get to what I feel like God wants to say. And sometimes that's a little bit of struggle because I'm pretty opinionated. And I got some ideas of some things that I feel like you need to hear, or I feel like I need to tell you. And that's probably not the best gauge to speak from, you know. And so I have to really pray and get God's ideas. And I had this really cool idea. I was walking through Walmart the other day, and they have these masks that are for sale. You know what I'm saying? And they got like all kinds of different masks. And I saw a Batman one. And I thought, man, this would be so cool to bust up in here today. You know, everybody's dressing up. And I could preach a message on masks and just really come out. You know what I'm saying? That would have been so awesome, me and my Batman outfit and all that stuff. But I just didn't feel like that's what I was supposed to do. And Cynthia probably would have said, no. And so, but she's not in here right now. I could have totally done it. And then I had this idea, you know, because it's like Fall Fest. And how many of you have seen the moon the last couple of nights? Thing is huge, man, and it's so that's considered the harvest moon. And so, you know, you're in church, and so one of those buzzwords in church, especially this time of year, is harvest. So I thought, man, I could preach on the harvest, and that would be just awesome and everything. And I just didn't feel like the direction that I needed to go. And so this week, when I was sharing the midweek motivation, there was just some things that the Lord dropped on my heart that I felt like we needed to share. And it started out as a sermon, and I thought, goodness, we're going to be here forever. I mean, we're already here for a while, am I right? Don't comment on that. I'll lead a fast starting right now. But I want to go to the book of Joshua chapter 3, and I want to introduce a new sermon series to you. And I know Drew will be here next week, but we'll just skip next week and jump back in. But the title of the sermon series is, Where Are You Going? Where Are You Going? And I'm going to go to the book of Joshua chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. I like Joshua a lot in the Bible. There's a few of those guys I really like a lot. Some of them I feel like I can relate to. You ever read somebody in the Bible that you just didn't like? Come on, raise your hand. I mean, you can't raise your hand for Jesus, because if you don't like Jesus, we need to pray right now. But there are other people in the Bible I don't like. But I like Joshua a lot. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. And 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. That's a good verse right there. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark, and make sure you don't come any closer. And then Joshua, and this is really where I want to get, verse 5, then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves. Listen to this. Purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. Come on, how many of you wanted to see God do something incredible? You want to see some great wonders, okay? So he's telling them, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. In the morning, Joshua said to the priests, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and went ahead of the people. Let's pray, and then we're going to jump in and take this all apart and set it up for you. Father, thank you for our time that we have together. We're praying for just an outstanding day for every person, every family that is here. But Lord, before we get to the fun, I just pray, Lord, just for the next few moments that you will speak something to our hearts that's going to last for a lifetime. And I pray, Lord, you will help me to speak something, God, that is more than my thoughts and ideas, but is your word, is your ideas. It's what you want to say to your people. So Lord, I ask for your help today to communicate this. Help me to say this, God, in a way that is life-giving and life-changing. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Sometimes when you read the Old Testament, there's a lot of words and things in there that you're like, whoa, what is that? And sometimes it leaves you feeling like, or saying things like this, man, I wish those preachers would just really, really simplify it. And I'm going to in a moment, but sometimes when you read it, it just sounds really, really deep. I don't really speak deep. I don't try to go deep. I just try to be even keel. But sometimes you read those verses and there's a lot of stuff in it. But I want to start out this morning telling you a story. I grew up in what is considered a full gospel Bible believing church. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Full gospel. Not that other stuff, full gospel. I mean, it was real deal. Everything in the Bible, we believed it, like all of it. And so Well, back in the day, you brought a big Bible to church. And the size of your Bible was kind of like your status as a Christian. And so you had some of those folks that had those little pocket Bibles, and you just knew they were struggling. You know what I'm saying? You just knew, like, that guy ain't reading his Bible. That thing looks brand new still. And then there's the guy that's got that big one. You know what I'm talking about? Like the one that you probably should have on the coffee table in the living room, and you probably shouldn't take it out. Got the little center picture of Jesus on it and white Holy Bible in gold. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Big thing. And got the edges of the paper is all gold and everything. And that brother's walking in church, and he's just feeling like a boss. How many of y'all ever been to one? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You've been to that church. How many of you carried that Bible before? Just tell the truth. Come on, Alicia. I know you carried one before. Just big old Bible, man. I'm talking about big, heavy Bible. And it was funny because we would get to church early and everybody would save their seats with their Bible. And your Bible really wasn't legit unless you had your name engraved on it. First, middle, and last name. You know what I'm talking about? Like Wade Michael Morant. Like I got that for Christmas one year. Black bonded leather. Wade Michael Morant in gold on it, man. I mean, it was just strong, but it was a little slim one. I think my parents thought I needed some work. You know, I still got the Bible too. So when I was in the youth group, and I grew up in youth group, man, I mean, that was just my life. We grew up in church. Every time the doors were open, we were there. And not only were we were there an hour early, and we stayed an hour late. That's just how we did it, man. And I learned a lot of things about ministry being an hour early. There were things I didn't know that had to be done at church that I learned how to do. Because when you get there, it's just kind of like looking around. Nobody else is there except for a few people who are doing stuff. And so you're like, hey, I'm bored. Can I help you? And I learned how to set up chairs. I learned how to turn on a sound system. I started learning all kinds of stuff. But in the youth group that we were in, man, there was always this emphasis on reaching the lost. Like, people got to get saved. Like, we got to get them saved. Like, we got to hurry up and get people saved because one of two things are going to happen. Either A, they're going to die and go to hell, or B, the rapture's going to happen and everybody who ain't saved is going to miss it. Like, and so there was this real intense push, like, to reach the lost. And I heard this week there were some preachers at a couple of the schools standing on the sidewalks just letting people have it and all that stuff. And I remember back in the day coming out of school and those guys were out there too, man. Just screaming at us, telling us we were going to burn and go to hell. And so the church culture at the time was just really intense. And it was all about keeping people from dying and go to hell. And so there was this guy who was a songwriter, and he was also a traveling evangelist. Like, he had the whole package. He had the van with the carpet all up the walls on the inside. You know what I'm talking about? And this guy would travel around to different churches. And anyway, he wanted to create a resource to help people, to reach lost people. And so he decided he was going to write a song and that he was going to put it on a cassette. How many of y'all know what a cassette is? I ain't talking about an 8-track. I'm not talking about a CD. I'm talking about a cassette or a K-set, like the older folks would say, from Walmarts. And so this guy recorded this song on this cassette, and he threw a little salvation message in there at the very end. And what he would do is he would sell these tapes for $1 a piece. And so you'd buy this thing, you buy a bunch of them, and what they wanted you to do is just distribute it to anybody who was out there. And so I played in the band when I was in the youth group. I was the drummer and everything. And I remember our youth pastor the night that we were going to introduce this to the youth group. He's like, hey, I want us to learn this song. And the title of the song was If You Died Tonight. And so I thought I would just take a moment to read some of the lyrics to you. Now, I didn't go on YouTube. I didn't Google this to find these lyrics. I remembered them because we played that song every Wednesday night. You know, the youth pastor would come up there and preach. And it's like, all right, let's click it on. Let's see where they're at. And so here's the words to the song. I should have put them on the screen. It says, just stop and think. The next breath you take just might be the last one you get. Come on, how many of y'all feeling it already? I mean, that was the first line of the song. Think of this. Think if you're in the youth group and you invite your friend to come with you for the first time, and they're standing there in the youth group and the band starts playing. We were a pretty decent band in the first line. Just stop and think. The next breath you take. And it's like, whoa. Oh, and I slipped a little singing there. I'm sorry. Just stop and think. The next breath you take just might be the last one you get. Watch this. No guarantees. Ask yourself, please, if today was the day, are you ready yet? I mean, this thing just got to the point quickly. And so they would give us these cassettes, like, go hand it out. And after I heard the song, I was like, whoa, I feel like I got to work my friends towards this. You know, like I'm not ready to drop this on them. So watch this. It goes to the next line. Don't be a fool. You know, your soul's on the line. Just call on Jesus while you still have the time. That's a great line. And then it gets to this part. If you died tonight in the morning, where would you be? If you died tonight, where would you spend eternity? And then it had a whole nother verse. I mean, and it got more intense as it went. And then afterwards, they would have the music playing in the background. And the guy would speak for a few moments. And he'd go right back into the course. And he'd come back and he speaks for a few moments. He'd go right back into the course. And there was this emphasis that, man, if we don't do something, people are going to die and go to hell. And, you know, I remember I went on this missions trip this one time, and they wanted us to go to these, to knock on people's doors, and I'm not a knock on the door kind of person. You know what I'm saying? I'll call you. I'll see you in the restaurant. We'll say hey and everything, but just the, like go to your door, knock on the door, and say, hey, can I ask you a question? This is how blunt it was. Can I ask you a question? And most of the time it was like, no, leave me alone. But the question was, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven or hell? And then the door would really slam. And so they taught us the technique. You got to kind of get your foot in the door. And so they try to close it. I wasn't sure about that. I had zero success with it. But it did make me think about where are we going. And obviously, everybody wants to go to heaven. Am I right? And I'm not trying to make light of heaven or hell. Because I think, obviously, we all want to go to heaven. But I want to ask this question. But how are we living? Because sometimes we live like there is no hell. Now, I'm not trying to turn into that preacher. I need to say this, though. Because sometimes we live like there is no hell instead of living like we're going to heaven. And that's why I present this to you today. Where are you going? So I want us to consider in the flow of our go, how are we living? Are you living for heaven, or are you just living like hell? And I think that's a legit question. Rather than put you in a place of fear and saying, hey, it's almost like let me scare you into making a decision today. Really, it's an evaluation of how are you living. Are you living like you really, really want to be a resident of heaven? Or are you just living like hell? And so this series is entitled, Where Are You Going? And what I want to do is I just want to talk about the path that we're on with our lives, because I think we're all wanting to experience God's best. Am I right? I think we all want to walk out the plans that God has for us. We want all that God has for us. But just because you want it, and just because you even come and sit in church, doesn't mean that you're walking in the direction that you're supposed to be walking. I have to tell you this. There's people who will sit in church that may be disappointed when they stand before God. God's gonna be like, look, you were there, but where were you? You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's a legit question. You know, I like going to football games and everything. And sometimes I get the Uncle Rico complex. Y'all remember Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite? How many of y'all have never seen Napoleon Dynamite in your life? God help us. Uncle Rico was this old uncle for Napoleon, and he regretted that he didn't play football. And he just thought he could be quarterback. And his line was, man, if I could go back, we'd win state. And sometimes I'll sit at these ball games. I was at one Friday night, and I thought, man, I'd take this team to state, man. And it's easy to sit there and have ideas and opinions, but it's a whole other thing when you're actually on the field and you're in the game. And what I hope to do through this series is get you engaged in the game, get you in this walk that God has for us so that you can truly, truly experience God's best in your life. So how many times have you asked somebody this question? How are you doing? And their response was, oh, man, I'm just busy. How many of y'all have that? You've gotten that answer a lot. Oh, just busy. A lot going on. Just man, the kids, school is just really busy. Can't keep up, you know, all that stuff. And I'm learning that there's a lot of stressed out people out there. And they can't keep pace with the schedule of life because we have so much that we're trying to do, so much that we're trying to keep track of, and it's messing with us physically, it's messing with us emotionally, it's messing with us financially. Am I right? You know what I'm talking about? But it's also messing with us spiritually. We're trying to maintain all of these things. It's almost like we're trying to juggle all this and keep it from hitting the ground. And sometimes we do really good. Sometimes we don't do so well. And when we don't do so well, it begins to affect us emotionally, and we get mad. And then when we get mad, we say things and we do things that we shouldn't have done and shouldn't have said and wish we wouldn't have done it. And that begins to create a little mess at the house. And it begins to create these inner feelings of, I'm not good, that I'm a terrible person. Then we try to justify it. And you know how that cycle goes. And so we're stressed out, we're fatigued. And what's crazy is that we can't sleep it off. We try to, but we can't sleep it off. Some of you tried to sleep in yesterday and didn't work. It made you more tired. We can't vacation it away. We try to take a few days off and it doesn't go away because even though we're off of work, our minds are working harder. And so then it's almost like I need to go to work so my mind can get some rest. How many of y'all have ever said that before? It's just this constant go. It's so fast. And what happens is we wind up living reactionary. Meaning this, we're reacting to things that are going on because we have this busyness. And we didn't realize how much it was dictating our lives. In fact, we didn't even know how much it was dictating our moods. You ever got mad at your kids and they didn't do anything? Or mad at your spouse? Or mad at your friend or a coworker and they didn't even do anything? But you just had so much to get done that day. And if you just like even give a glimpse of getting in my way, like back off, son. And they're like, well, I just want to know if you want me to pick you up some lunch with your crazy schedule. We just don't realize it because of this busyness. And I think what happens is this, is that we drift from the priority of our purpose because we're chasing the urgency of the moment. We begin to drift from the priority. I want to say that. We drift from the priority of our purpose, meaning the things that we should be doing for the things that the moment is dictating. And I think the question to ask is, in the middle of all of this, who are we becoming? And do we even like the person that we're becoming in the midst of this? Like the pressure, yeah, it's making us stronger, but what if it's making that bad attitude that we had even stronger? Like that's not good. Like what if it's making the temper stronger? What if it's making that addiction stronger? What if it's making the fights worse? And we're getting it all checked off, but yet the condition of our lives just isn't good. Come on, is anybody following me today? It's just so much going on now. I just got to ask this question, who are we becoming? And the reason that I picked Joshua is this, is that Joshua is a part of this mass group of people who are heading to the promised land, this land that God has promised them. And he saved them from this slavery that they were in Egypt. And God's like, I want you to live free. And I'm going to take you to this land that's flowing with milk and honey. I'm not sure what that means because, you know, land flowing with milk and honey. We go to Publix, okay? And so, but it's just it's this promise for a better life, the life that God has for them. And they've been at this for a long time. It's not just like a 1 or 2 day trip. This has been years and years and years. In fact, in the course of their going, people have died. People were like losing their minds, complaining about the conditions. We don't have enough food. It'd be better for us to go back and live the old way, living in bondage, than living here free and having nothing. And so they've been living in this really intense state, and they got a lot to do, this guy Joshua, because he's an assistant to the main leader. He's got a lot on his plate. He's dealing with all the people and all their complaints, and he's got all his duties to fulfill. And then one day, the main leader, Moses, dies. I mean, you talk about pressure. This guy is under some serious pressure at this point of his life. And I want to make sure that we personify this, because if we're not careful, we just read Bible stories about these great characters and we just think they're awesome and they can do all these things, but we never ever see ourselves in their shoes, and better yet, we never see them in ours. But I would just have to think that if I'm number two in command with all these people and I got my own family and we're trying to move these people to the quote unquote promised land, and a lot of them are complaining and don't seem like they want to go, and we're just trying to motivate them and keep them going and keep the peace on the way, I think I'd be a little bit stressed. No wonder they spent so much time with God. And so in this moment, I want you to realize he has this death to Moses. This is his leader. This is his mentor. This is his father figure. And so at the same time he's dealing with all this stress, he's also dealing with some grief. And I'm sure the big question that everybody wanted to know, who's going to lead us? And there's only one person to ask that to, and that's this guy, Joshua. Can you already feel the stress that this guy is on? I'm not trying to stress you. I just want you to know it's him, not you, okay? And so Joshua, I'm sure he's just feeling the stress of the moment. And I think he had a decision to make right there. I do. I think he had a decision to make. Are we going to keep going on the way to the promised land? Or are we going to find an easier route? You ever notice that when you're not the guy in charge, it's always easy to say what they ought to do? You did that to your team yesterday? They ought to do this. They ought to do it. It's easier when you're not the guy with all the pressure on you to begin to say what they ought to do. And I'm sure he had his opinions of things that needed to be done. And so is he going to just bail on this thing? Or is he going to say, hey, let's take an easier route? Or is he just going to get out altogether? I ain't doing this. Y'all can have this. But he makes this decision that he wants to stick with it. And we read in verse 5 that Joshua is trying to get the ball rolling again, because when you have a death of a great leader like that, I'm sure it causes everything to stop. And now he's kind of got to get the ball rolling again. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, Joshua gives a command to the people, and this is what I want to hit on today. He says this, he says, purify yourselves, because the Lord's going to do some amazing things among you tomorrow. He's saying, today, what you need to do is purify yourself, because tomorrow, God's going to do some great things among us. And it's almost like he's trying to set them up. He's trying to get some momentum going. He's trying to get them motivated again. It's like, all right, come on, let's get back to this. The break's over. Come on, purify yourselves. Tomorrow, God's going to do some great things. And I'm sure there were people saying, what do you know, Joshua? You're just a number two guy trying to fill the number one spot. You don't know what you're really doing. You're just a young buck. I can imagine all the different things that they were saying. But I want to take that word purify for a moment. And I'm going to break it down for you, because there's some things in here that we need. There are some things in that word that we really need in our lives that's going to help us to keep going, and better yet, help us to see the great things that God has for us. Because I want you to know, no matter where you're at in your life, it is promised some good things from God. Amen? It is promised. But whether or not you get to participate in the promise, it is going to deal with your submission and your surrender to God's plans. Amen? And so Joshua throws out this word. He says, purify yourselves, because tomorrow God's about to do some great things. Now let's break it down. See, that word purify actually has another meaning to it. That word is consecrate. Consecrate yourselves. Yeah, it sounds purify, and it makes it sound like he's saying, hey, clean up your act. But then when you start hearing the word like consecrate, it just sounds a little more authoritative. Am I right? Purify sounds like we're going to clean the bathroom. Consecrate means we're about to clean this whole house up, and everybody's going to help. You know, like when mama's got enough and dad's got busy all of a sudden. Anyway, let's not go to consecrate. Here's another meaning of the word. It's to sanctify. And somebody just thought, oh, there's a church word. It is a church word. It's a God word. It's a word that we need to hear. He's saying, sanctify yourselves. So let me give you another word, another meaning of it. Dedicate. Dedicate. What I feel like he's trying to do is help them to sort out things in their lives. When he's saying purify yourselves because the Lord's about to do great things among you, I think what he's saying is this, is that God wants to do something in your life. And if your life keeps going the way it is, you're going to miss it. You're not going to see it. You'll be so distracted with everything that you got going on that you'll miss everything God's got happening. And it is possible for us to miss it. You ever miss something that happened? Maybe some friends got together and had this big event, and they were like, oh, where were you? And you're like, oh, I'm so sorry, I missed it. Been busy. Lots going on. Schedule's full. You know what I'm saying? All those little lines, just been running. Lots going on. But hey, we're blessed. We're living our best lives. You know, all those little confident things, hashtag best life, all that stuff. But it's like we walk away from it. It's like, man, I missed it. I hate that I missed that. I wanted to be there. I wanted to experience this. And so we got this pace of life that is going. And I feel like Joshua is just trying to say, hey, you know, there's a possibility that you might miss the best things because you're running around with a bunch of good things. Amen. Because I know you well enough. I don't think that you're crazy. Amen? Come on, you should say amen right there, because I know a lot of people who are crazy. A few of you are close. Really close. If I keep preaching like this, it's going to come out during church. Lay a hand on the neighbor and pray, but no, don't do that. But I think that we want good. I mean, how many of you want a good family? How many of you want a good career? You want a good relationship with friends and family. We want good stuff, but how many of you know, man, my life is just running right now. I mean, it is full speed ahead. My question is, how does this happen if we can't even stop? How? How are we going to do this? And so Joshua, he's trying to get their attention because they've been gone for so long. And then they have a tragedy that occurs in their going. And usually when tragedy occurs in somebody's busyness, they begin to make changes, but a lot of times they overreact and start cutting out things that they really should have kept. You ever moved before and threw stuff out that you shouldn't have thrown out? We've been in the process of moving, and I've been looking for things. And then people in my family remind me, you threw that away. You sold that. You gave it away. Oh, I didn't realize I needed it. And I think that's where a lot of people get. And what Joshua is doing right here is he's saying this, hey, let's rededicate ourselves to God's plans. Let's rededicate ourselves to what God has been trying to do in us for years. And can I say, there are people here that God has been trying to do some things in your life for years. And it's not that you're stubborn, even though some other people would give that opinion, but I'm going to be nice to you today. It's not that you're stubborn, it's that we don't have time. It's that we're just so on the go. I don't have time. And then we say, how did we get here? How did our marriage get here? How did my kid get this crazy? We're with them all the time. I'm going to let that marinate right there. Let that marinate. Joshua's saying, hey, let's get back to what we're really doing here. Let's rededicate ourselves to God's purpose. And in other words, what he's saying is, dedicate your life to the Lord and get your life in order so that you can get to the promised land. Get your life in such a position that your attention isn't all over the place, that you miss what God is trying to speak, what God is trying to show you. Are you grabbing this today? I've heard people say this, that sin is a vision problem. And I used to think, it's a decision problem. It's not a vision problem. But then I really started thinking about it. If you look at something long enough, yesterday I was at a restaurant. And right before you go to check out, there's that little freezer case. And it was a barbecue restaurant. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And so you're looking in there, and it's just like cake and stuff just staring you down. Like, you gonna buy me? Take me home today. Don't take me home. Eat me here. I mean, it's just like staring you down. I don't know why I'm telling you that. But anyway. Distractions. We get distracted with some really good things. And we lose track of the best thing. So again, consider our lives. How are we living? Let me drop it on you like this. Would it be considered righteous? Or would it be considered running? Not necessarily running from God, just running after everything else. Would it be considered, here's another big church word, holy? I know, as soon as you say that, people are like, I don't want to be considered holier than thou. That doesn't mean that God's not calling us to be holy. Because, you see, our definition of holy has come from man. And what we have done is we've created this whole idea of holiness based off of somebody who gave us a picture of something that we knew could not be God. That has to be somebody's version of God. But holiness is actually just purity. It's innocence. Right? Are you grabbing this today? Holiness means set apart, consecrated. Thanksgiving will be coming up. Now, in my family, we eat on Chinette. But a lot of people are going to eat on China. It's this dinnerware that is set apart, set aside for a special purpose. It is given value. Hey, at the end of the day, it's a plate. Am I right? And we could put fried chicken on it. We could put cake on it. You could put caviar on it. Don't mean I'm eating it. You put crawfish etouffee on it, on top of some fried catfish. Glory to God. Felt the Holy Spirit. But watch this. But because it's set apart, because it's consecrated, it has purpose. And that's what I feel like Joshua was trying to say. Listen, we're living like Chinette when God wants you to be China. I set you apart for a purpose and I'm giving you value, but you're living your life like it's cheap. Come on, I got to be careful how I say this, but I got to communicate this because there has to be a wake-up call or else we're going to run ourselves ragged and continue to ask God to try to help us go in a direction that isn't even his direction. Come on, that's good today. And it's like, God help me, but I'm going the wrong way. Somebody encourage me. Somebody put something on Facebook that's going to encourage me, but I'm running the wrong way. And I don't believe it's worth it to encourage people who are going the wrong way to keep going the wrong way. We got to say, hold on. What does God have for you? Let's get on that path and run, baby, run. Are you grabbing it today? That's why I ask, how are you living? Where are you going? Set apart for God's purpose. We're concentrated so much on the moment, but God is calling us to be consecrated to him, to his purpose. And really what he's saying is, consider eternity and live for it. Instead of just living for the moment, watch this, live for eternity. We get really good at living for the moment. And we don't know how to live for eternity, and our decisions reflect it. And so when it comes to doing things that affect our eternity, we don't know how to say yes to them. Because we got so good, because we practice so much at saying yes to temporary things that we can't say yes to eternal things. Where are you going? Where are you going? A lot of people searching for direction in their life, but we can't find it because there's so many distractions. And in the middle of the distractions, we're like, God, tell me what to do. God, tell me what to do. I guarantee you, we could do a whole entire sermon series, what is God's will for my life? And people would come like crazy because everybody wants to know God's will for my life. And I can sum it up in one word. Surrender. Surrender. Say yes to God's plan. That's what it comes down to. And because of this stuff right here, many people drift from the faith. And what happens is we take a different, more self-serving route and we miss the promised land. We drift. I got to do what's good for me. I'm going to get there on my own. I'm going to find my own way. And I feel like today God is calling us back. He's calling us back and he's saying, hey, consecrate yourselves. Turn away from this life that you're living, these decisions that you're making. And choose the best rather than just living for the good. The story of mankind has always been this. Find a better way. Learn. Improve. But it comes from the motivation of fix yourself. I gotta fix it. Look, I'm a DIY guy. We just did this whole remodel on our house. I hired one person, an electrician. Mr. Ted. That's it. Don't clap. I had to pay. You know how many times I'm sitting there late at night and I'm asking myself, what am I doing? Why didn't I just hire more people to do it? because I just thought I could do it all myself. Yesterday afternoon, I was watching some of the ball game. I ain't gonna bring it up, but I was watching some of it, and I have a fireplace, and I need the brick around the fireplace. It's brick tile, and I'm sitting there trying to watch the game, and I can't concentrate because I need to do this tile. You know what I wound up doing till 9 o'clock last night? I bricked that thing. I was tired this morning. I hope I'm preaching better than this feels. We got a little DIY in us. We do it my way because it's quicker. It's easier. I don't have to go through all of that. But sometimes when we do it ourselves, we don't get the results that we really, really want it. We wind up in some situations that we're not prepared for. See, what I didn't tell you, you got excited because I put brick all over the fireplace. What I didn't tell you was the hour and a half I had to sit there and do math and try to figure out how this was going to lay out so it doesn't look like an amateur did it. Seriously. It took longer. Because I was sitting there trying to figure out how to do it with something I'm not really experienced in. But yet I'm a DIY kind of person, and so my pride put me in a place to try to do some things that I should have called on help for. Come on, somebody. That's where we put ourselves. We wind up in the middle of nowhere, and we're all by ourselves. And so what happens is we get temporary results. In that, oh, it's finished now. It looks great. But you know what it took to get there? And then there's cleanup afterward. There's a lot that comes with it. And I find this is the cycle of our lives. And so what I want to do today is just tell you that Jesus came to offer a better way. Can I hear an amen? See, in Matthew chapter 4, he came with a message. And this was his message. You ready? Another big church word. He came with this message. He came saying, repent. And listen, I know when you hear that word, I have flashbacks to LSU. There was this thing called Free Speech Alley. And there were these guys that would come out there and just scream at you and tell you that you're going to hell. And they would follow it up with, repent. And they were so mean. And I'm like, I'm saved. I go to church. But are you born again? Yeah, I got a Bible with my name on it. Go to the youth group. Set up chairs. Just sounds mean. But Jesus, this is what he said. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, he didn't come threatening you with hell. But he came pointing you to heaven. Repent. In other words, watch this. He's saying this. He says, change so that you can live for heaven. Are you grabbing this? See, the old school preacher would just scream and say, repent or you're going to burn in hell. Listen, I believe in hell. I do. But I like the promise of heaven a whole lot more. In fact, I'm more motivated to live for the promise of heaven than I am to live with the fear of hell. Are you grabbing this today? I've learned that fear is a terrible motivator. Fear makes us do our own thing, but the promise motivates me, and it makes me want to do it. It makes me want to live like I'm going to heaven. And so it evokes change in my life. And so rather than living to not break the rules, I'm living free. And it's not because I don't have rules. It's that my relationship with God is at such a place, I don't even want to break the rules. It's not a consideration. Are you grabbing this today? It's a new, and this is what Jesus came to offer. And he said, hey, this is the better way to live. Live like you're headed to heaven. Living with purpose in your life rather than just living in a fear state to where we just shrink back and do nothing. And today, Jesus is saying, I got a better life for you. And listen, you're saying, what, you're talking about my life, my family? No, I'm talking about the state of the life within you. Amen. The core of your being, where your source of life is, Jesus said, I'm a better source. He came saying, living for heaven is better than just surviving life on earth. Come on, this is good. I feel better wearing my LSU shirt today. I feel like I'm preaching better. So perhaps as you consider your life, you might feel like your life's heading in the wrong direction. Maybe at one time you were following Jesus, but maybe you feel like you've drifted from it. I want to give you three steps real fast as we wrap up today of what to do. And I think this is going to help you. Three steps. three steps to getting on the right path, getting on God's path for your life. The first thing is this, is you have to make a decision. That's where it starts. It starts with a decision. That word repent, this is what it means. To have a change of heart. To have a change of mind. I used to think this was good. But now I'm realizing this isn't as good as I thought it was. Like when you're a teenager, you think frozen pizza is the best. And then you get a little money and a little freedom, and you go eat somewhere that's got really good pizza, and you realize that stuff wasn't that good. To repent is to realize that God's got better for you. And I can't settle to keep living the way that I've been living. I've got to make a change, and it's a change of mind, and it's a change of heart. That's why I say that we've got to make a decision. It's realizing that the way I'm going isn't going to get me to the promised land. And so it's a decision that, hey, I'm going to follow the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to follow Jesus instead of just taking this, instead of doing this DIY, I'm going to call somebody. And I'm going to get some real help and get where I need to go rather than trying to do this on my own and not getting close. You grabbing it? So in that decision process, this is what's so hard about it. We got to admit that we were wrong. That's what's so hard. It's to say, you know what? This way I'm going, this ain't the right way. And I have to take the time to say, Jesus, I got to follow you. So make a decision. The second thing is this, is follow the directions. Again, if I see the picture of it, I can build it. I can do it. I don't need an instruction book. And then you wind up with all these pieces and parts scattered all over the place. And you know in your mind, that's got to be important because I've never seen one of those before. Like, that probably needed to go in there. Uh-oh. And then we go back to the instructions. Follow the directions. See, we're not just talking about, watch this, getting saved. I was in this drama, this play thing that we had at our church years and years ago. It was called Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. And in the particular scene, I was a drug dealer. I don't know why, but they had me playing a drug dealer. I had to wear this suit, I guess, to look like I was in the mafia. And I mean, I had slick back hair. I thought I was cool. And do you know, a lot of people got saved. That drama, all kind of people were coming to it, and a lot of people got saved, but not a lot of them followed Jesus. See, they responded to the fear of that moment, and this is what I've noticed, man. When in the moments where things just start getting chaotic in our lives, people rush to church. Oh, get back into e-group. And I thank God that you do, but can I say, if that is our lifestyle, if that would just be our lifestyle, I think that's living for eternity. You know what I'm saying? To where you're living, you're positioning yourself, you're setting yourself up for success. That way, we're not always chasing. We're not always running for our lives. Watch this. We're running with the life that God has given us. We always need somebody to be our Superman. Call them. We're hoping they can jump in a phone booth and come out with a Superman suit on. And people can't do that. That's why it's important for us, not just to make a decision, but it's important for us to follow the directions. In other words, live your life God's way. That's what it means. It's learning about Jesus. It's learning about his way and living like that. It's learning how he handles situations, and it's living like that. See, we can't, watch this, you can't afford just to get spiritual. We've got to get godly. You can get spiritual and give your kids every kind of direction from the Bible that they need. But if it's not godly, they'll wind up despising you for it. You can't just preach it, people. You got to live it. Come on, you're grabbing this today. You can't just tell people what to do and where to go if you're not going there yourself. This is so important. And a lot of times we just want to get saved. And that's that old school mindset. We just got to hurry up and get them saved. Hurry up and get them saved. And we're saved for heaven. But what about saved for earth? You're saved. Okay. Walk the aisle. You're going to go to heaven. But let's talk about how you're treating your family. Come on, somebody. Let's talk about, amen. I appreciate it. Somebody was about to shout back there. Amen. I needed it right there. Felt a little resistance. Get saved. Give your life to the Lord. But what about truly walking out this faith? Today we're going to baptize some folks. You know what I'm excited about? It's another step of following the directions. That's what it is. It's another step. I'm just following directions. I'm unsure of this, but I know if he's saying go this way, I'm taking the step and I'm going that way. I'm just following the directions. And the last time I checked, there's blessing that comes with obedience. There's blessings that comes with it. So what it means to follow directions, it means to become obedient to his way of living. In other words, make decisions that line up with him and not just decisions that line up with them. Did you hear that? Line up with him. There are things that God tells me to do and convictions that I have that most people would say, oh, I don't really think that's a big deal. It is a big deal, though. That's why it's so important that we trust and follow his directions. Here's the last one. Make the decision. Follow the directions. Number three is stay dedicated. Stay dedicated. Meaning this, you got to stick with it. Can I tell you, you're not always going to feel like it. September the 23rd, 1985, a 9-year-old gave his life to Jesus. His dad leaned over during a revival service that Sister Peggy Richards was preaching and asked that young man, have you ever thought about giving your life to Jesus? And that young man said, no, but I want to. And he said, let's pray. That was me. And 1985 was a long time ago. And there were moments where I just fired up, like, let's do this. There were other moments where I'm like, what are we doing? Come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? See, I got saved when I was 9. And then I had to go to middle school. Listen, in middle school, I repented every day. In high school, like 2 or 3 times a day. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all should repent a little bit more. You're looking at me like, yeah, you need to help. Yeah, you do too. Here's the thing, though. It's not just making a decision. I'm following directions, but I got to stick with it. Because even though I'm getting older and I feel like I'm a kingdom veteran now, you know what I'm saying? I'm not a rookie at this anymore. It's still more of the same. It's still more of the same disciplines. It's still more of the same decisions that even though my feelings and my friends may want to do other things, this is the road that I'm on. And I love y'all. I'm a wave at you. I wish you would come with us, but this is where I'm headed. I'm living for heaven. I'm living for eternity. And the moment right now wants to get me off this road. But I know if I stop too long, watch this. If I stop too long because of an attraction, it's going to become my distraction. And I'll miss the complete destiny that God has for me and my life. So what I'm talking about is this. I'm going to stick with it no matter what. Because nobody loves me like God. Nobody loves you like he does, and nobody can bless you the way he does. No man can bless you. No woman can bless you. No child, they may bless you today, and tomorrow they may make you lose your mind up in here. Only God is that good. So here's the question I finish with. How are you living? Where are you going? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Wade, I want to follow Jesus. I want all that he has for my life. And I feel like I've been distracted and it's leading me down paths. It's not that they're bad. They're good. It's just not the path that God has for me. And today as you're sharing this message, I just feel like the Lord is just drawing me to get on track, to get back on the right path. Maybe it's not just for your salvation, but maybe it's something that the Lord told you to do. That others would sit there and get in your face and tell you you're running, but you're not really running from it. You're just running for a lot of other things. But today, you just know, today is the day. God's knocking on my door and he's drawing me and he's saying, hey, consecrate yourselves. Get yourself back on track because God's about to do something amazing in your life. You say, Pastor Wade, I'm not where I should be, but today I'm getting on the right track. I want you to lift a hand real quick. Anyone else? Hands are popping up all over this room. You see what I'm saying? It's not because we're so bad. It's because we're just settling for good that we're missing best. We're missing the best. And so when we say the best is yet to come here, we're not just talking about convenience. What we're talking about is living the life that God has promised for you. Amen? Living the life of promise. Anyone else today would say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I've been off the path, and I need to get back on track. Anyone else? Come on, we're going to pray here in a second. This is your day. This is the day of your salvation, but it's not just a decision. This is your new life. Anyone else? I want to pray. Anyone else? God, this is so good. This is so good. Every Sunday, we lead you in a prayer, and this is no different today. I want to ask you to pray this prayer with me today. Say, Dear Lord, I thank you for loving me, even when I am astray. That your love today is drawing me onto the right path, the path of following you. So today, I surrender my life completely. All of me surrendered to all of you. Thank you for giving your life for me so that I can be forgiven, so that I can be free. So today I take this step. I make this decision and I choose to follow your directions. And I ask for your help to stick with it no matter what. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for setting me on the right path. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.